What is it that you treasure? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word treasure means that which is exceptional, of exceptional value, and kept safe. And the word heart means that which consumes your thoughts and action. It's all of who you are. So when we treasure in our heart, we value that, and our actions, our thoughts are consumed with that. And of course, Jesus is emphasizing God in this passage. You're going to either treasure money, or you're going to treasure yourselves most of the time. You're going to treasure something, and it's going to be evident. That which you guard, that which you think about and guard and keep safe, it's going to be evident because that's where you're going to spend your time. That's how you're going to live your life. Well, I think there's a close second. I think that, yes, we absolutely should be treasuring God most of all. We should treasure God. We should be thinking of Him all the time. And our actions, our lifestyle should represent that. It really should. But there is a close second. I believe that's mothers. This morning, I would like to talk about mothers. But I'm not going to talk to mothers, but others. We won't be looking at a specific text. But I have three questions. Who are to treasure mothers? Why should we treasure mothers? And how are we to treasure mothers? First, who are to treasure mothers? Well, the first ones to treasure mothers is obvious, and that is their children. Why should they treasure their mothers? And primarily because God commands it. You know, it seems rigid maybe. Maybe he thinks, why do I got to be commanded to love my mother? Well, first of all, God commands it. We first honor God and his word and everything. The word of God is the authority in our lives, first and foremost. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. To honor is to respect, and no one respects that which they don't treasure. No one respects that which they don't treasure. We are to honor your mother. Listen to God's commandment in Exodus 21:17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. God's standard was and is very high in regards to the way children treated their parents. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. The word revere means to regard with feelings and respect, or feelings of respect and reverence. Consider hallowed or exalted or be in awe of. To revere your mother, you are to exalt her, to hold her high like you would someone you thought was great or awesome, someone you admire. God commands that you treasure your mother, but also because your mother treasures you. Mothers, as a rule of thumb, love their children more than they love themselves. And I say rule of thumb because we hear a lot of horrific stories. We know that every child wasn't brought up in the greatest environment. But as a rule of thumb, God created mothers to have that special love for their children. This started before you were born. I have heard women say that they won't have kids because being pregnant will ruin their bodies. They don't want to have their body misshaped. When your mother got pregnant, they went through a lot of discomfort. They put on a lot of weight. Most go through a period of being sick, and some get very sick. To the best of my knowledge, all mothers get stretch marks as a result of being pregnant. Their skin stretches so much that it literally tears, not to the point of bleeding, but you will see the blood come to the surface because the skin thins out, and that's where most of the people who don't want to be pregnant. They don't want to because of that issue. But their skin stretches out, and those scars last for the rest of their lives. Their feet hurt from carrying you around for the majority of the 9 months. Their backs hurt. They carry a lot of excess water, especially in the summertime. Your ankles swell up and it's uncomfortable. They have difficulty putting on their pants and their shoes. You don't think of those things, do you? But it's true. They find it difficult to get comfortable in, you know, to lay down. You can't lay on your belly, afraid of squishing you. They lose a lot of sleep because they're uncomfortable. But then there's birth. This pain is indescribable, so I won't try to describe it. But all you have to do is think of a time that you got hurt. Think of a time that you've gotten hurt. I've been hurt a lot, pretty serious ones, and multiply it by 100. And you still haven't reached the pain level. If you've ridden skateboards and you fall off and you scrape your face up, not close. You're swinging, you fall off the branch and break your arm. Not close. I didn't break my arm, but I've taken plenty of falls. But this pain is unbelievable, and they did it for you. As you grow older, they are constantly worried for your safety. And when you get hurt, it is a very stressful time. I remember one time, Troy was 8 or 9 years old, and one of the Landry boys threw a rock. It was when the church was getting the addition put on. It hit Troy in the head, and Troy started bleeding like crazy. We just started going to church. We were newly saved. Troy comes running in, blood all down his face. And Vic goes, "Roger!" Freaked out. Mother's stress. Hey, I must have killed my mother. But mothers stress when their children, they're worried when their children get hurt. They worry that you will get picked on in school and that you do well in school. Everybody gets picked on. Everybody gets picked on. They want you to do well in whatever you do so you don't feel bad. If you're doing sports, oh, I hope he does well. I hope he doesn't come in dead last in the race and feel like a loser, you know? So they're concerned about these things. When you get into your teen years and you are able to stay out later, they have a lot that goes through their heads. They hope you don't get into trouble, and they worry until you come home. When you get a license and start driving, they don't worry about the car. They worry about you. If you go off to college, they cry because they are going to miss having you around, and again, are concerned for your well-being. Actually, it's, I got to spend all this time alone with your father. But they worry. They're concerned. They cry. My oldest one comes home. He's 29 now. He's not even in school. He goes back to North Carolina. She cries again. So it goes on forever. When it's time to start your career, they are concerned that you make a good living in order to support yourself as well as your family. When the time comes to find the right person to spend the rest of your life with, they are concerned that you find the right person. But most of all godly mothers will be most concerned about your relationship with God. Their deepest concern is that you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that your walk with the Lord is right. Are you living your life in the way she raised you in the Lord? Are you reading your Bible regularly? Are you spending time in prayer with the Father? Are you serving the Lord in the local church? Are you being a good steward with your money? Are you being a good witness to those you are working with in your surroundings? Are you treating your wife as God commands in His Word? Are you treating your husband as God commands in His Word? And are you raising your children in the Lord? You cannot understand the depths of a mother's love until you become a mother. Now you might be thinking that as a father, I have an incredible love for my children, and this is true. But as a father, I haven't endured all that my wife has endured in raising our children. I'm concerned with these things, but I didn't go through pregnancy or give birth to them, which one of us is going to say that's not fair. I help with the raising of our children, but it is their mother who puts in the most time. And when it comes to schooling and dealing with their sicknesses, it's primarily mom who's doing that. I don't cry when my kids go to college. I don't worry as much about them driving unless I'm in the car. And I don't stay up all night because they aren't home at a reasonable time. A matter of fact, for the most part, I'm asleep before I hit the pillow. A mother's love is like no other. Listen to some things that I read concerning mothers. A Jewish proverb: God couldn't be everywhere, and so he made mothers. Now, we know this is theologically incorrect, but you get the point. Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of children. Think about this one. A death of a mother is the first sorrow without her. A death of a mother is the first sorrow without her. You grieve, your mom grieves. And Edgar Allan Poe wrote this: because I feel that in the heavens above, the angels whispering to one another can find among their burning terms of love none so devotional as that of mother. Why should you treasure your mother? First, because God commands it. Second, because no one loves you like your mother. Now let us see how you are to treasure your mother. You treasure your mother by obeying God's command. As we saw earlier in Ephesians chapter 6, you are to obey, and of course you are to obey as long as it doesn't go against God's command. If she tells you to do something that God commands you not to do, of course you don't obey that, and the opposite is true. If your mother tells you not to do something that God has obviously told you to do, then you obey God. But for the most part, good Christian moms aren't contradicting God's word. God created mothers to raise their children in a way that glorifies himself. A godly mother is one who wants to glorify God, and she raises you to do so. Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is their reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. You know, when you shoot a bow and arrow, you shoot for a specific target. We'll keep to a target, not an animal. You shoot for that bullseye, that small little circle in the middle. You're aiming specifically for the bullseye. So she is aiming for the bullseye. What is the bullseye? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train a child in the way he should go. She is training you to live for God. That is what she's training you to do, to worship and love God. Proverbs 6:11, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Your mom is doing the best she can to raise you according to the will of God, and God said it is wrong to disobey her instructions. I've seen many times where kids just think their mother's stupid, they're out of touch, and they're so disrespectful. When we look at Ephesians, it says, honor your mother. And the word honor means to respect. And the way we respect her is by treating her with love. In Leviticus 19, it says to revere her, and the word revere means to exalt her, to lift her up to a very high position. In other words, you are to treat her like a queen. Listen, it's not me making up the words. I'm just trying to help you understand what God is saying. We are to exalt her. Treat her like a queen. You also treasure your mother because the love she has for you. You treasure your mother because of the love she has for you. Years ago, I used to watch this movie, and I say I used to watch this movie because I watched it a number of times. Maybe some of you have heard of this movie, maybe even watched this movie, The Man from Snowy River. My wife hated that movie, but I loved that movie. In the movie, the father of this girl, who this man from Snowy River liked a lot, raised thoroughbreds. They are very, very expensive horses. Well, the father was out with his horse, this special one. He had this special horse that he really liked. It was black, and he loved this horse. I won't tell you why, because it doesn't matter. But he loved this horse. See, some of you are saying, it does matter. I want to know. But he loved this horse, and his daughter went into the corral to speak with her father, and she said something the father didn't like, and the father slapped her across the face hard. The girl runs out of the corral into the house crying. The mother of this daughter was dead. Her aunt, mother's sister, lived with them, and the aunt saw the whole thing, and she comes walking up to the father, and she said, "You would never treat that horse that you treasure so much the same way you just treated your daughter. You would never treat that horse. You would never strike that horse. You'd never treat that horse, the horse you treasure so much, the same way you treated your daughter. You should always obey your mother and never treat her in a way that you would never treat anyone else who you highly respect. If you play sports, you would never treat the coach the same way that you treat your parents sometimes. Most kids fear their father, and they would never treat their father the way they treat their mother. I know that's true in my house. Treat your mother the same way you would treat your father. Remember what God said in Exodus 21:17, "And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." God takes this very serious. He takes it very serious about the way you treat your parents. Listen to what God says will be a sign of the last days before Jesus Christ comes again. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Listen to these words. Listen. "Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people stay away." God hates these sins so much that he tells Christians to stay away from people who practice such sins. And then what he is saying is, you stay away from children who are disobedient to parents. That's how much God hates the sin of disobedience to parents. It is impossible to think you are going to have a good relationship with God when you don't have a good relationship with your mom. Don't think that you're going to go to youth group, you're going to open up the Word of God, spend some time in prayer, go to Him when your time of need is there. It's not going to happen. You are not going to be in favor with God when you are not in favor with your mother. Children are to treasure their mothers, but who else is to treasure mothers? Husbands are to treasure their wives, the mother of their children. Why should husbands treasure their wives? Well, because God created and commanded us to. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him." Genesis 2:23 and 24, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We were created to be a team, to work together as we fulfill God's purpose in our lives. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." How are we doing? God gave us an example of what kind of love we are to have for our wives. We are to have a sacrificial life. Jesus put the church before himself, and we are to put our wives before ourselves. 1 Peter 3:7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." We are to honor our wives, and the word honor means to respect. Of course, I don't have time to expand on our responsibilities because I used up all our time on the kids because they're more rottener. Not true. Plus, I was too convicted. That's not true either. But I was convicted. But I think it is important to understand that if we are not loving our wives in the manner in which God commanded us to do so, then we are not loving God either. We are not loving God either. Jesus said in John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." It's he who loves me. If we keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, if we keep the commandments of God, then we are loving him. One of the commandments of God is to love our wives, to honor our wives, to love them like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Not only did God create us and command us to do so, but God says she is his treasure, a treasure to us. Proverbs 18:22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Proverbs 19:14, "Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers," your natural father, "but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Now the word prudent just means wise, sensible, and discreet. A good, godly wife is from the Lord. Not only should we love our wives because God created and commanded us to do so and because she is a treasure from the Lord, but we are teaching our children what a loving, godly relationship looks like, a loving, godly marriage looks like. A godly marriage doesn't mean perfect. And if you've been married for any amount of time, then you'll know this isn't true. I mean that this is true, that God isn't expecting perfection, and we're far from having perfect marriages. But is it evident that we are both working, that our marriage is centered around Christ? Is it true that our marriage is centered around Christ? It should be evident. When we treat our wives wrong, do our children see how we repent of our sin? Do they see that we are making up, that we just don't sweep it under the carpet or ignore it? Do they see that both are working toward the same goal, and that is to glorify God in our marriage? That we put our wives before ourselves, that marriage is a lifelong contract, an agreement between God and us. Divorce isn't an option. Ephesians 5:25 and 26 says this. I know we looked at verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word." Do our children hear us conversing with each other around the word of God? Is the word of God central in our lives? Do they see us talking together as the word of God as our focus? Do they see us leading the home in accordance to God's word? Or is it just my way or the highway? Do they see that we love our wives affectionately? My children hate that part. But I do. Go tell her I love her. Put my mouth next to her ear and whisper into her ear. Go hug her. That's all I'm going to say. But they see it. That's gross. Get away from my mother. But they see it. Do we understand that the way we treat our wife, their mother, is going to influence the choice in their wife or husband? The way we treat our wives is most likely the way our sons are going to treat their wives. The way that they see their mother being treated by their father is the way that they're going to expect to be treated by their husband. Well, how are we to treasure our wives? Let us start by not thinking we are right about everything. That was a hard one to write down and harder to even say. I know that the joke is she's always right and I can't do anything unless she says so. But the truth of the matter is maybe we just think that we're right all the time. Maybe the truth of the matter is, I'm going to sum it up, maybe the truth of the matter is we just think we're right all the time and we're not. I think I'm right all the time. All the time, I'm right. Why would you say something you don't think you're right in? Right? It just doesn't make any sense. I just think I'm right all the time. But the truth of the matter is maybe we're not. God created her to be a helpmate, not a dummy who doesn't do anything right. I'm not saying you agree with everything she says, but do we consider what she has to say at all? We don't have to agree and then do what she says, but what I am saying is, are we honestly considering what she has to say? I know many times it's not the case. Let us tell our wives on a regular basis that we love them. Pretty practical, simple ways. You tell your wife every day you love her. Every day, tell her you love her. Do something out of the blue they don't expect that shows them we are thinking about them and that we love them. I read this book years ago, Tender Warrior, by Stuart Weber, and he gave some suggestions. But, you know, when you do something that doesn't cost a lot, you don't have to spend a lot of money on them for them to appreciate it. Buy them a card. Call them when they usually wouldn't expect it. After they ask the question, is something wrong, then, and you affirm them no, you'll make their day. Buy them flowers when you're not in the doghouse. You know, my mother-in-law, I'd buy Vicky flowers. What'd he do wrong? Everything okay? Buy her flowers out of the blue, just because you want to. Here's one that I have never done yet. When you are sitting together in front of the TV, let her watch what she wants to watch. You want to prove your love. There it is. I come in the house, and if I want to watch TV, I just take over the remote. Well, Devin, I got a fight with Devin over it. He usually wins, but if I came into the room, it was just normal. People would hand me the remote control. King, you want to show your love, give her the remote control. But the most important thing we can do that will show that we treasure them is to submit ourselves to God as He conforms us to the image of His Son. Let us always be found in God's word with the goal of applying His word to our lives. You know, one of the things that I said early on is you don't have anything to worry about until you don't see me in God's word. As long as I'm in God's word, I will always seek to do what God says. Share what God is doing in our lives personally. How is God working? Share that with your wife. Let us study the word so that we can teach our wives and children as we grow together. We haven't arrived in trying to bring them to where we are. We're continuously growing. I'll add something else that I didn't write in. Pay attention to your wife. Know where she is, what she's going through, what struggles there are. My wife, I'll share this. My wife was has been dealing with her mom a lot. And then we have teenagers that need phone calls and attention. So I came home one time and I said, hey, you know, don't forget to make these calls. She goes, okay. So then the Lord convicted me. And I was like, wow. So I called her from work, which isn't abnormal. I call my wife all the time. And I said, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you and that I love you. And I want you to know that I don't take you for granted. And I affirmed her that I understood what she was going through. She said to me, thank you. I didn't think you noticed. Pay attention to your wives. Know what's going on. Kids, treasure your mother. Father, treasure your wife, their mothers. Because mothers are to be treasured. Let's pray.